Let us turn now to Genesis chapter 3, please. We have before us the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a wonderful passage. It is a historical document. It is not a story. It is not simply an old fable. But it is a historical account that we read. The people there are real people. The things that happen there are real things. Now, you know, I'm sure you have heard the BBC program, Desert Island Discs. And you know how it is that people who are told that if we were to send you away to this faraway island, what would you take with you? May I ask you this? If you were sent to a faraway island, what chapter of the Bible would you take with you to meditate upon? Well, I think this chapter would be one, because it has so much in it. It has about our condition. It has how we used to be. It has about our Lord Jesus Christ. It has about the remedy for this world, and so many other things that we could think about. And now we are going to seek to listen to God's voice this morning. I want to, I'm studying at the moment to maybe preach through a number of messages on speaking and about our voices and about our speech in some time to come. But here we hear a voice from God. And we should ask the Lord, "Lord, speak to me." Some of you may find that voice alarming. And we should find it alarming. It will be searching. It will probe us and it will examine us. And it will go deep. Always the voice of God, when He speaks to us, it must go deep into our souls. It's a haunting voice. And I pray that it will be a haunting voice. Like that picture. Let's say it's a picture. You may have seen an ad on the television, or you have seen a picture of a child in the war or something like that. And that picture haunts you. It comes back to you again and again, and you can't get it out of your head for a long time. And may the voice of God come to you in power, and that you may not forget it. And here the voice of God is amazingly gentle when He speaks to Adam and Eve, when they had fallen, when they had rejected Him. And the voice is this. It's a question that is asked in verse 9, and that is going to be our text. Where art thou? God says, where art thou? Where are you? Where are you, Adam? I want to look at this question under three headings. First of all, to ask, to whom does God call? And then secondly, how does God's call come? And then finally, and lastly, why does God call? Where art thou? That's the call of God. That's the voice of God. Why does He ask this question? First then, to whom does God call? Where art thou? To whom is it? And the scripture tells us that He called to the man. Not to a man, but to the man. Not just any man, because there only was one man, Adam, the father of our race, our representative, our head, we could say. And God is calling to Adam. And when He's calling to Adam, He's calling the whole of the human race. He's calling us all in this question. God called to this man. And that is profoundly significant, because it tells us something of who we are as human beings, As people, we are created with the capacity to relate to God. You can relate to God. To communicate with God. To know God. To hear God speaking. To respond to God. And serve and worship and love and obey and trust God. That's the capacity that God has given to us. Animals can't do that. And that's the essence of our being of human. To be human is to have relationship with God. That is our unique privilege and that is our unique honor. You sometimes hear people say, and I've said it before, we are just another kind of animal. Well, that is precisely what we are not. And I ask you, each one, if you realize this about yourself, that you were created to relate to God, and that it is part of your being, and that is part of who you are, and that is the essence of your humanity, then how are you with God? Where are you? Where art thou? You are made to have that relationship with God. Where art thou? You know, some of your children might have a book. We have a book in our home, storybook. It's called Little Bear Lost. And I was thinking about this. The picture came into my mind. Little Bear Lost. I don't know if you have it. But it's about this bear. One of the stories is about this bear that loses his trousers. And he goes to all these different animals, these toys, and he's seeking his trousers. And he's asking, have you seen my trousers? And different animals respond in different ways. So, the rabbit says, oh, I thought they were ear warmers. So I put them on my ears, but they have two holes on the top, so the draft would get in, and it wasn't very good for my ears, so I gave it to the dog. And the dog said, well, I thought they were for carrying my bones. I thought they were two bone holders, he said. And I know the story off by heart now so many times. But he went on from toy to toy. And the toys had no clue what the trousers were for. And it was to be put on the bear. And what I am trying to say is about the fact that they missed the whole point of what it was for. And we do the same. Human beings can do many things. Human beings, we do many things. We eat, we drink, we communicate, we move about, we reproduce. But at the very essence of our humanity is a relationship with God. And if you have no relationship with God, then you are less than a human, in a sense, because you are not achieving what you were made for, to have that relationship with God. If you do not know God, if you do not have that communication, that relationship with the Lord, you are less than fully human. We are losing out, you see. We are losing out on what God has made you to be. You are less than what you've been designed to be. You are living with a profoundly substandard, at a very substandard level. And the Bible describes such people as dead. We were created to be alive forever. But when we don't have a relationship with God, the Bible says you're dead. You're dead, and that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be the case. It's a very serious being dead. I saw a picture which has been haunting me these past few days of the situation in Syria. And I saw a picture of a child that had died in the fightings. And then there were all these children and they were screaming and they were crying. They were crying because their own friend had died. And that shouldn't have been the case, but that's how we are spiritually. God speaks to the human. But more than that, he speaks to the human being who is running away from him, running away, who is trying to hide from him. And so God says to him, "Where art thou?" In verse 8, you read this, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." It's ridiculous what you read here. It's ridiculous what they are trying to do. I wonder, have you ever played hide and seek? I'm sure you have. The children must have played hide and seek. There are some children who think if they can't see you, then you can't see them too. Or they go and hide themselves behind a twig and they think, well, they are going to be hidden from your view. And of course, adults, they try to pretend they haven't seen the child and so on. But this is the very case here. They think God doesn't see them. They think that they can play hide and seek with God. Oh, my friends, the Lord God Almighty, the God who has created the universe, the heavens and the earth, and Adam and Eve are trying to hide from him, to hide behind a few little bushes from the presence of the Lord God. And my dear friends, are you hiding like this from God? Are you hiding from God physically, just like Adam and Eve? Is it your practice to simply, whenever some opportunities come or something that happens, you say, "Well, I won't go to the meetings. I won't even take my Bible. I won't read my Bible. No, I'm not going to pray today. No one sees me at the moment. I don't have to perform my religious duties and so on when people don't see me." And we put out, we think God doesn't see me. Because nobody else sees me, then God doesn't see me. How easily we can do that. How easily we can come up with our excuses. We don't want to meet God. That's nature. We don't want to meet with God. That's what our parents did. They hid themselves. And so we follow on unless God comes by His grace and save us and work in us every day and by His Spirit keep moving us closer to Himself. Is that our case? Has it been a long time since you opened your Bible? When was it last time that you really prayed with God in the closet, just by yourself? Do we want to meet Him? Are we hiding from Him? Are you concealing yourself? Are you planting little groves of trees and cowering down behind them? Perhaps it is intellectual doubts and questions. Some people, you talk with them, they hide themselves behind all these wonderful, sophisticated questions that they put up. Those are the trees that they hide behind. And they think because they Christians can't answer my question, then God mustn't be real. Somebody said to me, "Well, why should I be afraid of hell think about hell when I don't believe in it? Hell can't exist because I don't believe in it." How foolish that is. God can't see me because I can't see Him. That's the mentality. And I was like this. I'm sure some of you were like this. You have these clever questions, you think, these philosophical questions. I don't need to face God. And so we hide behind these things. Are you giving yourself to things as well, to possessions, and using them, using the things that God has blessed you with to hide behind them, to insulate yourself from God? Are you refusing to think about God? There are some people, you remember the series in Ecclesiastes, that Solomon, he spoke about hiding himself from seeking God in his work, he said he was very busy. Some people get very busy with work. And it's a means of hiding behind. There are some people who hide from God in religion. In religion. That's a good hiding place. Lots of people hide from God in churches. Imagine that. And they hide from God in rituals and ceremonies. There are lots of places to hide, my friends, in a church. You can be hiding in this place right now from God. We can be just like those children playing hide and seek. We say in our heart, "You can't see me. You can't see me, God." But God says to us, "Oh yes, I can. Oh yes, I can. I can see you. Where art thou? Where are you?" God calls to human beings. Second thing, let us ask, how does God's call come? How does it come? How does the Lord ask this question? How is He making this call? He can call us in all kinds of ways. He can call us in our consciences. Conscience. What is conscience? Children would know about that. It's that inner voice. Inner voice. Do you boys and girls have that inner voice? You do something wrong? So you break something? Maybe you run away. The voice inside says, "Oh, I don't want to be next to this broken plate or broken pot or broken window." So you run away. It's that little voice inside that's speaking to you. Every person has grown up. Have it as well. When they do something wrong, they would also try to run away from it or pretend they haven't done it. It is this voice, this inner voice, is in every person's heart on this earth. And that voice alerts us, tells us what is right and wrong, what is good and evil. And there is no one without this conscience. Now, we abuse conscience. We neglect our conscience. We pretend it is not there, and we don't want to hear our conscience. We just feel bad. We feel guilty inside, but we pretend that it's not there. And the Bible talks about suppressing down, putting down, and we drug it out. For people who want to forget about their worries, and they go drinking, they go taking drugs, and so on. Try to not listen to their conscience. Try not to deal with their problems. But conscience, praise God, has a way still of speaking. And when God awakens our consciences, that's a good sign. When you feel guilty, you should be thankful. "Lord, that I have been made to feel guilty." Don't worry about feeling guilty, because God is saying you need to now deal with this situation. Are you uneasy at times? Are you restless? Do you have nagging feelings of guilt? Have you got nameless fears that rise up and terrify you? That is your conscience. Are you defensive or secretive about your inner life? That is your conscience speaking. The conscience is speaking, and God is speaking to you through your conscience. Where art thou? Where are you? Where are you? Is that not part of the craziness, the mania for noise in the world that we have in the modern world? Everywhere you go, there is noise. Noise. People cannot bear silence. They're afraid of silence, because in the silence you might hear a voice. But if you're always something going in, some music, some voices, some radio going in, then you cannot think. I remember one of my lecturers, he was rejoicing that his radio broke. And he says, "I have been so blessed this past month that our car radio has broken." We thought he was crazy. But he went on to say, "No, because I've had time in car to have silence, to be able to think, to be able to see things in myself that I've never seen before, and my attitude, and my sins. Noise. We must have the right noises, the right voices. The voice of conscience speaks. And it says to us, where are you? Where art thou? As God was here in the Garden of Eden saying, where art thou? Where are you? God can speak to us through circumstances as well. Through tragedy, through disappointments. God is speaking through that. Some of you have come to know the Lord through tragedies. Through disappointments, through people letting you down. And through those things, God speaks and says, where are you? Where are you? Where are you in relation to me? God can speak to us through suffering, through frustrations. God can startle us and alarm us. God can shake the foundations of our lives. God can speak to us through Christians. Through Christians. Through their faces. Through their lives. See, he's speaking to some of you. Some of you children again. Or some of you young people. You see the faces of other Christians. You see the face of your mom and dad. You see the face of a godly person when they look at you. And you're convicted. There's something wrong in my life. And I can see that my mom and dad who trust the Lord, there's a disappointment in their face. Or something that they may say. You know that they love you. You know that other Christians around you, they love you dearly. And you have to ask yourself, why is it that they are sad? Why is it that they are concerned for me? God is speaking, my friends, even through silences of Christians to us. When people even speak to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, that is God speaking to you through them. When you see the peace in your parents' faces, you see their kindness to each other and the way they love each other. And the way they love you and the happiness of your home and the security and the peacefulness of your home, that the Lord's blessing is upon this home, that is God speaking to you. When you see Christians loving each other and they seem to be different from other people, then it is God speaking to you as well. God has many voices. But here in our text, we are told that the man that the Lord called and what he says. Where art thou? In the garden, in Eden, God spoke to Adam and Eve in an audible voice. In an audible voice, as I do to you now. They were the only two human beings on earth. It would be appropriate. It was appropriate then for God to speak to them directly. A moment's reflection will convince you that that would not be an effective way for God to speak to human beings now. If God were to speak to each human being in an audible voice, can you imagine what this room would be like at this moment? So God has something far better, far more secure. He speaks to us through the Bible, through the Word, clear, solid, definite. We can read it again and again. We can remind ourselves of the Word of God. We can check it. We can compare it. We can examine it. We can study it. We can say, this is God's Word and this is what God means. And this wonderful book is inspired in every syllable. We live as well in an age of communication devices. All kinds of gadgets all the time. Some of you love gadgets. I must say, I do love gadgets too. They are not always the best things, and they oftentimes complicate things more. I have a love and hate relationship with emails, I must say. Sometimes I love it, and sometimes this week I have hated emails. I wish I didn't have email at all. But we live in an age of communication devices, things that you have, all kinds of things. You have mobile phones, you have CD players, you have iPods, you have MP3 players and things, and all these sorts of things. Phones you have, which do everything nearly. And here is the most astounding communication device that there ever has been or ever will be: a full, perfect, permanent, infallible, accessible communication from beyond this universe, from the creator of the universe to every one of us. We should marvel that God has given us this book, this device, this communication device. It is His own word He has given to us. And it helps us to, it speaks to our hearts, not just into our ears, but He speaks to our hearts. It makes us examine ourselves. Every page of this Bible, there are questions. On every page. And on every page, the Lord is asking you, where are you? Where are you in relation to this? What sort of a person are you? Why are you living? Where is your life now? Where is it going? Why do you say the things that you say? Why do you do the things that you do? What about your soul? How is your soul? Do you know you have a soul? What state is your soul in? What about your sins? What about your relationship with God? What is going to happen to you after you die? These are the questions that come up on every page. Our age is an age when people are searching for self-awareness. Books are published in thousands. You see adverts on self-help things and courses that you can do. You know, the Cheltenham Council, they give you free courses of self-help things, of coming into awareness of yourself and who you are. There are clinics and all sorts of procedures that to finding yourself and knowing yourself. My friends, here is how you find yourself. Here is how you know yourself. To read the Bible thoughtfully and intelligently and prayerfully is one of the most searching, transforming experience possible. And if you're not a Christian, I challenge you, men and women, children, to read this book, to hear it, to think about it, and you pray, oh God, show me myself and show me thyself from this. And God has promised that He will hear you. If you pray with an honest heart, God will reach down to you. God is calling us this morning. He's saying to all of us here now, where are you? Where are you? Are we hearing that voice? Is He not speaking to me? Is He speaking to me? It is God who is speaking. He's bringing this question to each one of us, without exception. Where are you? Ask yourself, where am I? Where am I in relation to God? And then finally, that brings me to the final question. Why does God call? Why is it that God calls? Why does He ask this question and call out to Adam, where art thou? Is God at a loss? Does God not know where they are? Is He asking because He needs to be told? Is He wandering around the Garden of Eden and looking high and low and He's not finding them? And so He's calling out like we would call out when we lose somebody. Where are you? Well, of course not. But why does He call? Ask yourself this. Have you ever thought? Why was the Lord calling Adam? Well, you can tell the answer from the reply of Adam. Adam doesn't say, we are over here. Look, we are behind the bushes, we are behind the trees, you come, here we are. Adam doesn't say that. God knew exactly where they were. God knew where they were to be found, and God knows where you are and knows everything. He knows where you are now in relationship to Him. He knows everything about you and about me. There is nothing you can tell God that He doesn't know. Even before you pray, the Lord knows what you are going to pray and what you are going to say. His knowledge is of you is absolute and complete. The psalmist says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. God knows. Why then does He ask? Well, He wasn't asking Adam for his own sake. He was asking Adam for Adam's sake. And He's asking us for our sake. He is asking us this question this morning. Where are you? Not for His sake, He knows. But for your sake. And Adam understands that. And he responds in verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. That is a significant answer. Where are you, Adam? And Adam says, God, I am afraid of you. I am afraid of you. That is where I am. I am in a state of fear. I am guilty. That is where I am. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed of what I have done. That is where I am. I am hiding because of it. That is where I am. Adam and Eve had disobeyed God. They had listened to the devil. Have you ever listened to the devil? They had eaten the forbidden fruit, and at that moment, their innocence was gone. They were no longer innocent. And that was gone forever. And they saw each other with new eyes. And they were embarrassed. And they were ashamed. And far worse, they were separated from God. And the Lord wants them to realize all of this. That is why He's asking the question. He wants them to face up to what they had done. To admit what they had done. Oh, we are so bad at admitting. We just quickly say, when we've done something, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That just tells you how you feel. You feel sorry about what you've done. It doesn't... You're not asking for forgiveness. You're not asking for that person to pardon you. But God asks us questions. And if someone says, I'm sorry, you say, well, why are you sorry? Ask them a question like that. It helps them to engage with you. And it helps them, when someone makes a statement, it is good for you to ask questions of them. Husbands and wives, with your children too, and Christians, when people say something, and you say, I don't really know what that person meant by that. Well, the best thing is to find out, is to ask them a question about it. And so God asked them a question. His call, His question is designed to make them aware, to get them to verbalize, to make concrete their own sin and their own separation from Him. He wants to hear them say it. And that is exactly why he's calling to some of us this morning who are not Christians, children, young people, men and women. Where are you? Are we hiding? Are you running away from God? Some of you need to say, like Adam said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I feel guilty inside. Is that not the truth? Are we not afraid of God? Are we not feeling ashamed of what we have done? Oh, I feel ashamed. God wants us to face up to these things. And we need to tell Him. Don't kid yourself. It's best to say, Lord, I am afraid of you. I am afraid of you. I am embarrassed of what I have done, and I know that you have seen it. I feel naked. I feel ashamed. That is the truth. ashamed of my sins, ashamed of my thoughts, ashamed of my uncleanness, ashamed of my hypocrisy, I'm ashamed of my weakness and my unfaithfulness, I'm ashamed of my lack of love, and I'm ashamed of this. I thought the things that would make me happy, they haven't made me happy, and I'm ashamed that I'm still empty. We are ashamed of breaking God's law, and that we have been ungrateful to Him, and that we have refused to love Him and trust Him. That is where we are, isn't it? Is that where you are? You are not ready to face God because of these things. We are not ready to die because of these things. We are not ready to meet God and answer Him for who you are and what you have done. So the question is, where are you? Where are you? God says, where are you? Hiding. Don't hide. Don't hide. But go to God and confess. Confess that you are afraid. You are ashamed. You sense all this guilt within. If truth be told with many people, their life is pretty grim. It's not a happy situation. It is quite pathetic. The things that they think will make them happy. And so God is saying to us, where are you? Will we put aside all the bluff and all the things that we hide behind and look into this mirror of God and say, who am I? Not much. Not much. Sinner. You see, the Lord is not calling Adam just to rebuke him, but He's calling him to get a confession from him. He does speak sternly to this guilty couple. Their sin will bring struggle and pain and suffering and death into their lives, and God makes that very plain to them. But the main reason why He asked them this question and He comes into the garden, the main reason why He seeks these runaways, His main reason why He asked these questions is to speak to them in an incredibly kind way. He speaks to them with the words of love. They're hiding from Him, but He's seeking them. They're hiding from Him, but He goes after them. He goes after them with love. He could have cut them off straight away, but He doesn't do that. He wants to show them mercy. And so He tells them something wonderful. He tells them in verse 15 about someone wonderful, a Savior, somebody who will come, the seed of the woman, somebody who will be born, the offspring of the woman, a child will be born, and he is the enemy of Satan, enemy of the serpent. And He is going to come and do something to bruise or crush the head of the serpent. And then in the process of it, His heel will be also bruised. The serpent will do something to that man. And the Lord God made later on, we didn't read it, we read that He made them clothes, garments of His skin, and He clothed them. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a promise of His coming, that He will be born to save sinners, and then there is a clothing. And the Bible speaks about God will clothe us with the righteousness of the Lamb of God. And He gives us, He brings us out of death, gives us hope, and He gives us life. And everlasting life. And all of these things are there. The gospel is there. God is coming after them. Ask them these questions to bring them to this knowledge of the gospel and His promises. And so He's asking us this morning, where are you? If you face up to that, if you really answer this question honestly, then you are brought to the good news of Jesus Christ as well. And He says to each one of us, if you come to Him, He will never cast you out. Whoever comes to Me, I will never cast out. And then the Lord will clothe you and the Lord will bring you in that path of everlasting. Where are you? When you came in, where were you spiritually? Where are you now? Are you coming to Jesus Christ? Are you still staying away from Him? Are you trusting in the Savior? That is the place. And friends, this word, because the gospel is for Christians, as well as the and especially this word comes to all of us this morning, reminding us of our true location, our true place. Your Heavenly Father, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Heavenly Father comes to you this morning. He puts His hand on your shoulder this morning and He says to you, "Where are you? Where are you? I have saved you, my son, my daughter, I have saved you. I brought you to Jesus Christ, but where are you now?" And you may say, "Lord, I have a heavy heart. Lord, I am discouraged. That's where I am. I've been badly let down. I am lonely. I'm frustrated. I am hurting. I'm angry. I'm confused. I'm worried. I'm stressed. I am uncertain. I'm depressed." You can tell Him all of these things. Why don't you say these things to Him? It's not a shameful thing to open your heart to the Lord. Where are you? Here is where. And then our Father says to us, "I know it. I know it." He doesn't dismiss those things. He listens. And He listens to our troubles. And He says to us again, "I'm going to ask you again, where are you?" And then you think and you say, "I am in Jesus Christ. I am in Jesus Christ. I am in Christ. That is where I am." For we who are Christians, we also get lost, don't we? We forget. We wonder and we need to be reminded where we are. Although thanks be to God, in spite of everything, we can say this morning, "Father, I am in Christ." Can you say that? And this is our prayer, that all of you this morning, all of us this morning could say that. Will you come to the Savior? Will you trust Him? He asks you this question, "Where are you? Where art thou?" Well, may the Lord speak to all of us. Amen. Let us bow.